This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm delighted to have on the program acclaimed actor, sketch comedy artist, writer, improviser, director, and producer, Naomi Sneekus. Before we meet her, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Naomi was a regular for 8 seasons on CBC's hit comedy, Mr. D. She was nominated 2 times for an Actor Award and 4 times for a CSA, that's a Canadian Screen Award, and she is a Canadian Comedy Award winner. She's an alumnus of the Second City, Toronto, where she wrote and performed in 5 hit shows. She's also a producer and founder of her own podcast series called Firecracker Department, and she's the other half of the award-winning duo Barham and Sneekus. Her TV and film credits are so impressive. They include Designated Survivor, Martin Short Go Home, Drunk and on Drugs, Happy Fun Time Hour, co-starring the cast of Trailer Park Boys, The Listener, Degrassi, Being Erica, Winging It, and Dino Dan. She's the voice of Aunt Turtle on the cartoon Franklin the Turtle. That's so cool. And June on Monsters. She co-created the digital show Doing It with Brian and Darla for CBC Comedy and The Casting Room web series, LA Web Fest, and CCA winner. Naomi has also won a Canadian Comedy Award, as just mentioned, in the category of Best Female Improviser. Wow. She was a regular on George Strombopoulos Tonight on CBC. Wow. And she is the host of the popular podcast Firecracker Department, as just mentioned. She's a founding member and co-artistic director of the 5-time Canadian Comedy Award-winning troupe, the National Theatre of the World. You can see her in feature films such as Disney Zombies, Kiss and Cry, Happily Ever After with Alex Kingston and Peter Firth, and 2 for 1 with Gavin Crawford. Saw 3D, The Swap, and most recently in Canadian Strain with Colin Mochrie, who's also been a guest on this show. She currently has a show in development with the CBC called Charlie and Flo, and you can catch her and her comedy partner, husband, Matt Barham, on their comedy podcast, Barham and Sneekus, at Barham and Sneekus, as well as the engaging and inspiring discussions on her podcast, The Firecracker Department. We're going to unpack all of this and more.
Oh my God. That's the time. And that's at the end of the interview.
Time. Okay. Naomi, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So delighted to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Naomi, I'm going to jump ahead for a moment because I loved your podcast interview with actress Nia Vardalos,
I
remember seeing at Yuck Yucks working as a waitress back in the day when I was married in another life to comedian Simon Ratcliffe. And I
Simon Ratcliffe, I think I remember him because I used to waitress at Yuck Yucks. So he used to do
that.
The tour. Uh-huh.
Isn't that cool? And I was going to say that. Wild. You were also a waitress at Yucks, and I found that so interesting because I think some of the best people work there. And I remember saying to Nia at the time, back in the day, and I'm going back, way back in the day,
sure.
Nia, you're funnier than most people on that Yuck Yuck stage.
So funny.
Right? And of course, shortly thereafter, she went on to Second City. The rest is history. What are your memories of working as a waitress at Yucks, and how do you think it stood you in good stead?
Well, look, first of all, let's have a mini fan club meeting for Nia because she's so fantastic. She's not only funny as hell, but she's like a driven powerhouse boss where she cares about her crew. Yes. She is the voice of our TV show that's coming up on Bell 5. We just signed her up for that, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm just a super fan of her as an artist, comedian, and human being. Yuck Yucks. Now, Yuck Yucks, I think the greatest thing about Yuck Yucks is that you just saw the same stand-ups come through and you saw them try the material out and you saw them try new material out. So you really got to see like a crash course of people at work, you know, like
totally.
Trying it out. And I mean, golly, those were funny times. It was also the time where I remember having to clean out the ashtrays at the end
yes.
of the night and just coming, just soaked with cigarette smell. It's disgusting. Yuck. I know. So good news, bad news. You get to watch all these comedians that would come through, and then you'd have to clean out ashtrays with your good fingernails. So disgusting.
But great place to start, eh? Like I know that back green room so well because I used to hang out there all the time. So it's like, it just takes you back.
Well, mine was in Kitchener-Waterloo where I was waitressing. I wasn't in Toronto at the time. And this was a place that you went down into this dungeon and there was a bar across the street that took Canadian Tire money at par. So it was a real happening little area of Kitchener-Waterloo.
That sounds great. I got to check that out. You've talked about, Naomi, how in your childhood in the Sneekus family, that one of the best reasons to save money was to live for adventures or travel. Did you have a happy childhood? And how did your childhood prepare you for this incredible life in the theater, film, TV, and comedy world that you now find yourself completely inhabiting?
That's a big one. That's a big one. Yeah, you know, I think I had a pretty great childhood. Like my parents did. I mean, look, all parents do the best they can, right? Like with what they've got. And I'd say my parents gave my brother and I a pretty great platform to be the people that we are now. But they, you know, my mom, they both came from wars. Like I'm first generation Canadian. So my father came from Lithuania and then my mother came from England and they grew up in different wartime. So they knew how to stretch a dollar, you know? Yeah. So that set me up for being an artist because I know how to stretch a dollar.
Yeah.
So there wasn't many times where we'd go out for dinner and my mom didn't like put the dinner roll in her bag because you never know if the kids got hungry and snacky later on. She'd be like, I haven't got a dinner roll. And we'd be like, fantastic.
Yeah.
And then just having like a platform for expression, you know, and adventure, and that was way more important than things in our household. We went on adventures first rather than let's buy a bigger house or anything like that. We were traveling a lot as a family.
Nice. I love that. So you're an actress, you're a sketch comedy and voiceover artist, teacher, writer. When did you first discover your funny bone? Were you the funny kid in class?
No, I don't even know. I think that it's weird not to have thought about this question because I've been in comedy for so long. But I think that like, you know, my mom was very, very funny. So was my brother and my father in their own worlds as well. But I think I was the funny one. I used to dance. And so in the dance recitals, I know I made people laugh and I knew that we had a huge connection to SCTV growing up. And so I could make my family laugh. So there was a time when I went, I know that in my future, I have to at least try to work at Second City.
Wow.
So yeah, I think that I don't know if I knew that I was really that funny until I got hired at Second City. And then I was like, oh, wait a second. This actually might be more than just me putting a plastic bag over my head at the family dinner table and trying to make people laugh, which I also did and survived it.
You studied at the University of Waterloo and then at Ryerson Theatre School. And how would you describe your time at Ryerson, now called Toronto Metropolitan University?
Yeah, again, you know, it's sort of similar to that world of Yuck Yucks where school gives you a bit of permission to make mistakes. So for 3 years, you can just try things and not risk losing a paycheck because there was no paycheck. So it was a really great time of exploration. Again, you know, I was hanging out with some really funny people like Paul Bronstein, who was one of my class members. Oh. And I know, one of the funniest people I know. So again, like if you surround yourself with jokers like that, you're going to have an opportunity to stretch your funny bone. So yeah, we had a lot of laughs and I realized how important comedy was to me by the end of that. I think when I started theater school, it was always in my path that I thought, oh, I'll probably end up getting into like Stratford or Shaw. And then I think by the end of school, I was like, I only want to make people laugh. That's the only thing I want to do. So
How great is that? What precipitated your move to Vancouver after you finished theater school?
Well, you know, Judy, love comes along and you make your choices.
Yes.
Yeah. I moved to BC for love and that love was great for a number of years. And then we moved back to Ontario. But originally, you know, I moved out to Victoria originally and I was so terrified that I wasn't, because I'd left, like I was doing shows at Buddies and Bad Times. I did a show at Canadian Stage and I was like, what am I doing moving out to Victoria? So I set up an audition tour for myself where I had like 20 auditions with all over BC area just to see. I know, so I was so desperate and so
or so
scared.
Brave and so I was confident. Brave. I love that.
Yeah, that's funny. Bravery. I don't think I thought I was brave. I think I thought I was scared. Like I often think this is like, there's a lot of things we can't do in this career. There's a lot of things that we don't have control over. Yeah. But the things that I do have control over is I can work really hard. So I just worked really hard. So yeah, started with love, but then I had a great time. Worked at the Belfry, worked at the Arts Club, worked at Vancouver Theater Sports. So it was a really, started a film company with my friends, David Hooper and Jason Bryden, called the Rubber Chicken Farmers. Like we had a great time.
And now it makes sense that you talk about one of your parents was from England. So when you started to make money, one of your first significant purchases was a ticket to England to attend the Guildford School of Acting. Can you paint us a picture of what that was like? That's pretty auspicious.
Again, like I think you got to dive into these kind of possibilities. I knew I wanted to learn. I knew I wanted to get out of Toronto. I wanted to see what else was out there, not Toronto necessarily, but Canada. And so I went and did a summer intensive in Guildford and I loved it. I got there. My aunt was there. My beautiful Aunt Mari, who lived in England, was like, here are the keys to my car. Here's some money for petrol. And off you go. She gave me the keys to her little Honda Prelude, her red Honda Prelude. And I didn't know how to drive standard on that side of the road, but she just believed in me.
Wow.
So that gave me the confidence to drive to Guildford and then study it. It was just exciting. It's like, again, surround yourself with people that you admire that are good to are going to lift you up when you can't lift yourself up. So totally. They were really like infusing me. It was a really, really exciting and inspiring time.
That's so great. Before we get to the podcast, which is fabulous, by the way. And so I'm wondering if you can tell us about your brainchild, the Firecracker Department, which focuses on women in Canada's TV and film industry. And just to share with the listeners, I love the list of people you've interviewed on your podcast, which includes people like Julie Nolke, Catherine Greenwood, Elvira Kirk, Ashley Raines, Nia Vardalos, as we've just mentioned, Robin Duke, who's also been a guest on this show, who I love, and Jennifer Podemski, just to name a few. Can you tell us about this fabulous, your brainchild, the Firecracker Department, and how that all came to be?
Yeah, I think this goes back to two things. I really love having my own thing that nobody else can tell me that I can or can't do it.
I get
so that. If you start your own business, you can work as hard as you want to or as not as hard as you want to, but nobody's going to tell you to not do something. It's up to you.
Right.
You just have to work. I mean, it's a lot of work, right? As you know, it's a lot of work to do your own thing. So I'd always had this thought of doing a podcast. And at the time, which was 7 years ago, there actually weren't as many female podcasts, which sounds insane now, but there just wasn't. The balance was really askew. And I knew that there needed to be more platforms for women and non-binary folks, which that is our mandate for inclusivity. There were various things that were going on in politics that made me angry and scared.
Yeah.
And I thought rather than being angry and scared, I was going to take action.
Wow.
So what I can do, again, I can put my effort into a podcast. I can reach out to these folks and raise their voice, you know, heighten and shine a light on their lives. So that was the biggest. And then luckily I had a production company, Carousel Pictures, that suggested they would help produce it at the beginning and they got me off the ground, which was amazing.
That's so cool.
We eventually parted ways, but they definitely were helpful to start it off.
I love that. We have even more people in common. I've also had Tracy Aaron Smith on the show, and I know
love
you moderated an evening with her recently for her Flying Solo Toronto book launch at the
Another
Toronto Press Library.
Such
a powerhouse. And I know you interviewed Tracy and led the engagement with the audience. So I love that you're so fluid and that you can just do all these things, that you're like, yes, you're an actress, you're a sketch comedy artist, you're this, you're that. But you're also like, you were the moderator and you were fantastic just leading that evening and the audience engagement. Does the sketch comedy and the improv help with gigs like that? Because it's just like, just be myself.
Right? You just roll with it.
Yeah,
I'm just rolling with everything. Yeah, like and you never know what comes your way. I think also, you know, my husband, Matt Barham, and I think one of the things we did early in our career is start spinning a lot of different plates so that we're not relying on one plate. I don't know if that allegory works out, but but you know what I mean? So that improv does keep you really loose and flexible.
So I'm so impressed with it, Naomi, because that's something I can't do. And later on, I want to ask you how you tell a person who really can't do it how to do it. But
I'm going
to
tell you right now, it's just practice. It's just get into a class and go every Like, I mean, I was doing 6 nights a week at Second City. You're going to get better. If you think it's something you'd like to try, do it and realize that you're not going to be perfect right away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then just if it's something you want to, if you believe in it, I love improv so much. I never not want to improvise. But I also think you have to practice these things. Nobody's going to run a marathon without training.
You have to do some training. You have to start somewhere. You know, my daughter is a musical theater actress living in New York. She went to Sheridan. She was here. Then she went to NYU. Lives there singing, doing her thing. I always say, I think you need to take a Second City class because how freeing is that, right?
So great.
Such a cool thing.
Yeah, it really is. I think everybody should do improv.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very wonderful. Also, Be Still My Beating Heart. What was it like being a regular on George Strombopoulos tonight on CBC? Can you tell us about Strombo? Because I think he's kind of like the heartthrob of this country.
Oh, he's a great guy. Strombopoulos is fantastic, smart, engaging, funny, kind. Again, smart. Like we would do these panels that were like new panels every day. And so the writing and the turnover was really fast. And he's just a real smooth.
Yeah.
He's really smooth, you know?
And then
you'd be walking by and he'd be playing the grand piano. I'm like, of course you play the grand piano. Like,
totally.
He's just
totally. And he's nice to women. He's very kind to women. And I think it's because of his mom, single mother, he's a good person. Yeah. So that's very cool.
Guy.
So let's talk about how you met your husband, Matt Barron, when you were both performing with the Second City Theater in Toronto. And as you have said, it was love at first laugh. And it's not just a romantic partnership. It's a professional one as well, which is really hard to do. Like George and Gracie did it. There's a lot of cool duos.
Yeah.
But it's you and Matt co-founded the National Theater of the World, along with Ronald Peterson and Kayla Lorette. In addition, you've both created and performed 5 shows together, some of which we're going to talk about in a bit. Can you tell us about how you met and fell in love with Matt Barron and about your very successful comedy duo, Barron and Speakus?
Yeah. So, we did meet at Second City, and it was, you know, one of those great times of creation and falling. I mean, it's, as we say, it's a classic boy meets girl, girl meets boy, girl finds out boy's married. Boy finds out girl's married. So not without its complications and not without its heartache from many people. But we sorted, you know, this was 20 years ago. So we feel really lucky, you know, like we get to perform together. We're in Edmonton right now with our show, Big Stuff. So although we started at the National Theater of the World, we then became Barron and Speakus and did the podcast. And now we wrote a show that was at Crow's. And we're touring all over Canada with Big Stuff. So
to rave reviews, I might
fun.
Add. To rave reviews at the Siegel Center in Montreal. And
we were just there.
Oh, that's my hometown. And they loved it.
Oh, great.
And I mean, the Globe and Mail, like in Toronto, like it's just been, and we're going to get to it in just a minute. But did you know when you met him, this is the guy, this is my soulmate?
I knew I wanted to know him forever when I met him.
Wow.
I mean, as I said, it was super complicated, but after we sort of blew up our lives, you know, I look at him and we look at our lives and just feel really lucky we get to live together. We really like each other. I don't want to get too like sweet about it, but we really like each other and we get to like hang out. There's nobody I'd rather hang out with. Like if we're doing laundry, it becomes way more fun if we're doing laundry together. And then we get to create together, and that also has its challenges, but we care enough to work through it along with the help of a registered therapist. We figure it out.
That's so great. One of the projects that you and Matt created was doing it with Brian and Darla, which was your 5-episode show on CBC Punchline. Can you tell us about what was that like doing it with Brian and Darla?
Yeah, I think, you know, also we come from the world of sketch. So that's in our makeup. When you talk about improv, it's like all the muscles that you need to like create. And one of the things that we do that we really like is sketch. So Brian and Darla were sort of 5 short little sketches. And we had some great punch-up support from Gavin Crawford. And I think we shot them all in one day in the house. It was pretty manic. But yeah, it's sort of a fun, again, like we're creating things that make us laugh. We're creating things that we like to do together. And yeah, I think they're really fun.
That is so cool. Love that. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll hear more from Naomi Speakus about who she considers to be her comedy icons and all about her newest production with Matt Barron, Big Stuff, which is currently touring all across Canada. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And I'm here with sketch comedy artist, actor, writer, and half of the comedy duo, Barum and Sneakus, Naomi Sneakus. So, Naomi, who were your comedy mentors and icons, if you will, like the people that you just looked up to? You say SCTV, Saturday Night Live. Like, who were the people that you just went, oh my God, they're so good?
Yeah, like Catherine O'Hara, Andrew Martin, Robin Duke, like, which is nuts, right? Because I get to hang out with Robin Duke. Oh. She is one of the writers and performers of our new TV show coming out called I'm Also Here. Oh. And she's amazing. I know. So those three, look, Linda Cash, it's wild how my heroes have become my friends.
So great.
And I'm really lucky for that. So yeah, I used to watch SCTV and just replicate, like imitate all the characters that Catherine O'Hara would do because they were so fantastic. And then look, this. I mean, when I moved to Toronto, Glenn Sumi, who's a reviewer for, he's his own review. He used to work for Now Magazine. So Sumi, he's so fantastic. And he's like, he compared me to Catherine O'Hara and said like,
yes.
I was dumbfounded. Honestly, it's the nicest thing in the world.
Totally, so, totally.
Those are my heroes for sure.
So that's my favorite show of all time.
Schitt's Creek. 100%.
Like, I'm embarrassed to say how many times I've watched it. I've interviewed Andrew Barnsley, the executive producer, and I had to confess to him that I watched it 500 times. Like, literally.
You don't need to be. Why are you, it'd be weird if you're, I don't know, if you said something, I watched, the Styrofoam Burning Channel. That would be embarrassing to talk about. But that's great. It's food. It's laughter. It's food for your heart.
It's food for your heart. Absolutely. You gotta love the line that director and theater critic Richard Azunian wrote, Barum and Sneakus, they're about as much fun as you can have without taking your clothes off. Love that line. I mean,
it's very fun. It's very fun. I mean, yeah, we do. We have a good time. It's like we make each other laugh. We work really hard. And, and people think when they say, oh, you must laugh all day. You wake up in the morning and you laugh. And we do. We laugh a lot. And it's a nightmare sometimes. Sometimes you gotta go I'm gonna go for a walk.
Go for a walk, 20 minutes. Little time out. What do you think characterizes you not only as a successful couple, but also successful in your sketch comedy and your improv skills together? Like, what's your secret sauce, do you think?
I don't know. I think living with a comedian, you're seeing the life through comedic eyes. So when we look into the world, we often see, and we'll practice it daily. Like, we'll see something that makes us laugh. We'll take note of it. We'll recognize it. Or somebody will say something funny in our life and that will become our catchphrase of the week. So I just think it's, Judy, it's muscles. If you want to go to the Olympics, you're going to train every day. If you want to go to the comedy Olympics, you're going to train every day. Like, what does that look like for you? Is it talking with your spouse about comedy things? Is it putting stuff online in your socials? Is it writing? Whatever it is, it's like a muscle, but we exercise our comedy muscle a lot.
How fun is that? How fun to live that, not just to do that at work and then come home to your, your husband who's maybe an insurance salesman or something. To do it all, no offense to the insurance salesmen out there.
No.
But you know what I mean? It's so great to be able to just do it 24/7.
It's the best. I also think that if you come home to your insurance salesman husband, you might have great jokes as well. And I bet you do. Everybody has their couple comedy stuff.
Yeah, totally.
We just have maybe more
times
of it.
You said in regards to your relationship with Matt Barum that neither one of you, I thought this was so interesting, ever feels like the other's straight man. That's really cool.
Yeah. Somebody wrote, we hosted the Dora Awards 2 years in a row. I don't know if you know the Dora.
Of course.
The theater awards.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I can't remember who was writing, but they did a draft of the script. And I had a lot of the, like, right, Matt? I get it, Matt. Oh, what's that, Matt? Like, I had a lot of the straight person sort of leads. Yes. And we don't work that way. We work very much of, like, you're going to take this joke. I'm going to set you up for this joke. So it's a very, it's a good balance. And both of us can feel in our systems when it's out of balance. Like, if one person is, I can feel when the ball needs to be passed and vice versa.
Yes. That's so, what a great, that also speaks to your relationship too. That's so great. Can you tell us more about the 53-hour soapathon, that epic nonstop? Oh my God. How did you do that? Improvised soap opera. That sounds so cool. Can you tell us more?
So it's so funny you should say this, because we're in Edmonton right now and we just did the Dynasty Soaps, which is over at the Varscona Theater in Edmonton. If you don't know about it, it's every Monday night. They do a soap every Monday and it's improvised theater and it's fantastic. So please go check it out. We just jumped in for this show. We're going to do next week's as well. So they do a lot of these soaps in the world. They also do a 50-hour marathon in England every year. And it's part of their fundraising. And it's part of also, it's sort of like this lore of improv where people come from all over the world and improvise for 50 hours. So we started a festival called the Impulse Festival that was part of Soul Pepper while we were a company in residence.
Wow.
And I know, and Albert Schultz was the artistic director at the time.
I went to school with Albert. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Wild, see?
Oh my God, yeah.
But he's a real, like, he's a, you know, for better or worse, Albert's a big thinker. And he said, what do you want to do? And we said, we want to bring people from all over the world, all our improv friends. So he's like, you got it. So we've had like people from Mumbai and Australia and Berlin, all our buddies came and they taught workshops and we did shows. And they said, what else do you want to do? And I'm like, well, one year we should do a marathon. He said, let's do it this year, which was way too much, but we still, and because they did 50, we're like, let's do 53 because we are just a little bit more bananas. But it was wild. I mean, your brain definitely goes into a different world when you're in a marathon. I mean, by the end of it, I remember coming home and Matt was opening the door to go home and we were both just like blurry eyed. And I was like, Matt, that's not our home. You're trying to get into our neighbor's house. So.
You were so exhausted. That's hilarious.
It was wild. In the middle of the marathon, Soul Pepper needed to shut down their system. So we had to go across town. It was winter. We had to go across town, all the actors, to the comedy bar. Gary Rido, who runs the comedy bar, opened up and we were allowed to run for like 4 hours there just so that we could keep consistent with the soap, the whole soap opera. It was wild.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Not sure if it's to be repeated.
I understand that the Script Tease Project is an improvised play inspired by just two pages from an established playwright. Can you elaborate on that? That also sounds very catchy.
That's another format that we developed with Ron Peterson, when we were working together with the National Theatre of the World. And basically, it's exactly that. You get a playwright to write you two pages. We open up the envelopes for the first time and read them. The playwright has written for three characters, and then we throw the pages down and improvise the rest of the play. So the playwrights made choices as far as like what costumes we should wear, what the set should look like. But yeah, we've had amazing playwrights like John Patrick Shanley and Judith Thompson, Morris Panage, Daniel McIver. Amazing,
Morris Panage. I know.
Like you name the playwright, they have said yes to this, which is amazing.
That's so fabulous.
Yeah, it's been really fun. It's kind of a format we do every once in a while now.
So as a married Canadian comedy duo, you and Matt teamed up to create a new stage show, Big Stuff, that we've just talked about is getting rave reviews. It's part storytelling, part duo stand-up, and part improvised. But most importantly, it's a personal reflection on the, see, I'm telling you what it is, on the treasured keepsakes and unresolved emotions that are left behind when we lose someone we love. Your tour de force, created and performed by you and your other half of your comedy duo, Matt Barron, your husband, received its world premiere in a Barron Mystikas production in association with Crow's Theatre at Streetcar Crow's Nest in Toronto in 2024. This is a year ago. And it was extended twice due to popular demand. It's received rave reviews. As you just mentioned, it's on a Crafts Canada tour right now. You're in Edmonton while we record this at the Citadel Theatre. Can you tell us more about your brainchild, Big Stuff, and what's next for Big Stuff regarding the remainder of the tour and beyond?
Judy, you've got great research bones.
Thank you.
That's amazing. You've got details that a lot of people don't know about. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So we started at Crow's. That was last year. And then before the end of that run, we'd already booked a couple of tour things. We knew we were, Lisa Rubin from Siegel Center had asked us to come and open her season in Montreal.
Yes.
So we just did that. And then we'll go to Edmonton, and then we'll go to Ottawa, GCTC, and Winnipeg at the PTE, and then Victoria at the Belfry. And there's talk of Vancouver and maybe New York.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
it's kind of wild. It was inspired because we lost all of our parents and the last of our parents in 2020. And then we were like, wow, we've got a lot of stories in our hearts, and we've got a lot of boxes in our basement, basically. And what do?
Yes.
So we wrote this show along with creative support and collaboration with Kat Sandler, who's extraordinary and directed us as well. And
yes.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I have to mention that these people don't often get mentioned, but Michelle Tracy set the castle of cardboard boxes because we're on the radio, but it looks so striking and fabulous. And it really does form the perfect backdrop for this sweet story of yours. Can you speak to the set and how it informs the piece?
Do you know what, Lee? You're absolutely right. These people, like the Big Stuff team, are like our family now. We're not, you know what I mean? They're with us for the rest of our lives. That's Sarah and Brooke Lannon, who was our stage manager, who we still work with whenever we get a chance to in our tour. And Emily Trimbley, who is the lighting designer, and she comes with us at every show to set up the lights. As you said, Michelle Tracy, the set, Tim Lindsay, who did the sound design, and Rachel Moore, who was assistant director. So we got real lucky with this amazing team. Wow. The set that Michelle created, you know, you would think it's a bunch of boxes as your backdrop, but she's done it in such an artistic way. And then Emily stepped in with lighting to make it just look extraordinary. Like people just sit there and look at it. And it's really a work of art. And then we talk about it like that. Like it's not just a set, it's a piece of art.
So awesome. So awesome. I also wondered, speaking of construction, how did you both construct a show that really combines this pre-rehearsed storytelling with all of this improvisational banter? That requires tremendous skill to ricochet back and forth between the two.
Yeah, I think like we're still writing it, you know, wrote, it's about 95% written. And then there's certain aspects of it that are improvised with the audience. We ask the audience to participate in a way that's not like sometimes audience members get a bit nervous about having interactive theater.
Yeah.
And we kind of say it's as interactive as you want to. If you don't put your hand up, we're not going to talk to you. If you don't want to offer information, that's okay too.
Nice.
But the interaction really keeps it fresh and alive and keeps us really engaged as well. We love it.
I love the question that you ask in the show when you have people write down one item they have in their house from a person they've lost. And the thing that I had that I always reminded me of my grandmother was this set of pearls. And ironically, when I was married to Simon, the stand-up, I'm now married to a doctor, totally different person, fertility doctor. When I was married to Simon, and I'm still very good friends with him, the comedian, we had a robbery and those pearls were stolen.
Oh,
and
no.
I called my grandmother bawling my eyes out 2 days later. And she said, you know, Judy, I got a lot of enjoyment wearing those pearls. I wore them at my wedding and I saw you wear them at your wedding and you got a lot of enjoyment out of them. And I hope the next person who wears them chokes on them. So I thought, great attitude. That was her beautiful, well-adjusted attitude.
Yeah.
What are some of the interesting things that audience members have said about their beloved objects, referring to their beloved relatives?
I just have to say, I love that pearl story so much because it addresses both Matt and my approach to it. Like I hold on to everything and Matt lets go of everything because he thinks you don't need the pearls to remember the person.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you don't, but it's so nice to have the thing. So we've had amazing. I mean, gosh, what have we had this round? A Pendelfin has come up a couple times, which is a little bunny, ornament bunny.
Lovely.
You know, we had one that was really, we've had this a couple times, but this one was really special. A guy said he had his grandmother's piano that she played and he learned how to play and he's teaching his son how to play.
Oh.
And then he said that, well, actually Matt asked him what he plays, what kind of music he plays. And he said, well, one of my favorite pieces is your song, the Elton John, your song. And so Matt said, can you hum a few lines? And he said, sure. It's a little bit funny. And then the whole audience started singing together.
Oh.
It was, I know,
oh,
it was so beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love
so that. So every night it's different and every night is special. We've never had a show that was like, meh. They're all really extraordinary.
Well, I'm always in New York. So when it comes to New York, I want to come and see you guys.
Okay.
I'm so excited that you've really figured out Naomi a successful career in this industry. But it's not an easy feat, by the way. Like, I know for you, you're pretty relaxed about it, but it's so not an easy feat for people. Yeah. What do you have to say to the aspiring sketch comedy artist, actor, writer, or any creative who's afraid to take a risk and help them just go for it?
I think, gosh, okay, I'm going to say what helped me, because I don't know what helps. I don't know what works for me, where it doesn't work for you. Who knows?
Right.
But for me, like, I needed to be real clear about what I wanted. And I wanted to be in comedy. So that was really clear for me. I wasn't going to pursue things that weren't in comedy. So if somebody said, I wasn't even auditioning for shows that were in comedy because it wasn't interesting for me. So that was a big part.
Smart.
So if you're in sketch and you're like, to what end? Do you want to just do sketch? Are you happy just doing sketch at local comedy theaters and writing? Is that enough for you? Maybe it is. That's great. But if you want more, then you got to have the trajectory of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. I would say, especially for sketch, get feedback. Don't pretend that you can do sketch and think that you're going to get better without feedback.
Right.
Because a lot of sketch folks don't have directors because that's one extra person. But get feedback from that. I mean, that goes with everything, sketch and improv and stand-up. I feel we needed feedback. And then just go, just do it. Just get back up. Fall down, get back up.
Yes.
Take big swings. Get back up, because the more you teach yourself to get back up, the easier it'll be every time.
Yes.
And surrounding yourself, like I said before, surrounding yourself with people that are in that same mind, that want to work hard, that are the same sense of humor as you.
Totally.
That kind of thing. I don't know. I think that works for me, but diversification, making sure that you're not just like, I'm only going to do this. And if that doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, do other things. Like we do. You know, we host corporate events. We do voiceover stuff. Nice. We do cartoons. Do it all.
Do it all. I remember Colin Mochrie, and I don't remember the exact quote. I have to go back and listen to the episode, but saying something about how he goes out on stage and he really goes for it. And sometimes it's scary because he said sometimes it doesn't work. But if you just go with the easy route, you're not going to be as funny. So he'll really go for it. And sometimes it's like a huge going for it. And you know, you just got
it. But now that guy's got muscles of risk that are better than most. Do you know, because he's fallen down a bunch of times and he's gotten back up. So if you say something on stage that doesn't work, it's not going to kill you. You're just going to go, oh, well, next, you know? So I don't know, but I think that's life. The more we're training ourselves to risk, the easier it'll be.
That's so great. So well said. That's really, what do you love the most about doing improv and being a sketch comedy artist? And what do you attribute to your excellence at doing it? Don't answer that just yet, Naomi. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll hear more from talented sketch comedy artist, writer, and actor Naomi Snegus. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, and I'm here with Naomi Snegus. And I just asked you before the break, Naomi, to what you attribute your success as a sketch comedy artist. But first, I just want to give a quick shout out to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. Thank you, Ashford Cleaners, for sponsoring this segment of Finding Your Bliss. Ashford Cleaners is Toronto's best dry cleaner with hand-finished detailing, laundry, tailoring, you name it, and they'll take care of it while always going the extra mile to make sure you leave with a smile on your face. And they also offer you free pickup and delivery, so it's easy to keep your entire closet ship shape and ready to go. Thanks, Ashford. Naomi, can you say more about what do you attribute to your excellence at doing improv and sketch comedy?
I do love the in the room DNA of the day, like when we're on stage and finding out what the audience is looking for. Because as an improviser, if the audience isn't liking what you're putting down in improv, yeah, you can change it.
Yeah.
You know, you totally can be sensitive to the audience. Oh, they laughed at that. I'm going to focus on that more.
Yes.
I think I also, I like people a lot. I like understanding people. I like trying to find out what connects people to each other, to me, to the world. So I think the thing that I bring to the stage that isn't maybe, that might be a little bit more unique, is that I do lean into reality. So I hopefully I get some good jokes, but I also feel like I connect to the reality of what those jokes are, so that that's relatable.
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
Did you ever fall into that Carol Burnett and Tim Conway thing that used to happen where they literally be peeing in their pants? Like they laugh uncontrollably. You can't go on because you just laugh.
How can you not? Like there's been times that I'm like, I just have to just sit down for a little while. It's all the time. Yeah. We're so lucky. We're so lucky. It's like, what a life to live where you get to laugh every day.
It's so awesome. Where do you get all of your ideas? I know you've mentioned a lot of your humor comes from sex and money. I do too. Really?
That doesn't sound like a quote from me. That sounds, being a British background, that sounds like I'm way too much of a prude to say that. Life, right? Like you look out, if you can see life in different ways, right? And I think the world is challenging right now.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it's easy. And I'm not saying that I can see humor in everything. I get flattened. I get flattened by sadness, and I get flattened by people not being kind to each other. I get flattened by a lot. And then I try to find comedy. I try to find the funny.
Totally. Yeah. Totally, totally. Is there a serious role you've ever wanted to take on? Like, are you going to play Lady Macbeth one day or Portia or something? I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't say no if it was the right production. I would love to see like a sneakers version of Lady Macbeth, because just because Lady Macbeth was like, I mean, she went mad.
Yes.
But I bet she was super funny too. Like I bet she you know what I mean? Nobody's one thing. If you play Lady Macbeth just as an insane megalomaniac, right, then I think you're missing out on the other stuff that was like,
totally.
She probably had some great fart jokes.
What has surprised you the most about your career from that time you went to theater school and did all that whole trajectory to where you are? What has surprised you? What do you stop and sometimes say, oh my God, what just happened?
I don't know. I don't know if I've stopped long enough to think about what's just happened, but I don't know what surprised me. That's actually challenging. Maybe that I'm still doing it. I don't know.
Isn't that amazing?
I haven't really lifted my head up, to be honest. Like I don't often reflect about that. I'm just like, what's happened? I'm kind of just
you're in it.
Yeah, a little bit more. Yeah.
Do you have an ultimate dream? Like, is there an ultimate dream that almost is too crazy to say out loud? You almost want to whisper it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we've got some press back recently about big stuff, and it says married comedy duo Matt and Naomi, and I was like, that's a dream of mine to do what we're doing. It's a dream that I get to hang out with Matt. We get to do a show that people respond to. We're touring, so we get to go places. It's pretty charmed, I would say. You know, and the idea also of taking it to New York and to London are also part of our dreams. So it feels those are a little bit more in reach now. But while working on this, I'm also producing and show running a TV series for Bell 5 with Firecracker Department. So I'm in post-production for that. So I don't know. It's pretty charmed. Like I don't dare to ask for more. dare I? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, and at the end of the day, if you took it all away, I'm still married to a pretty great guy. So I feel like,
isn't that amazing? It's so interesting because I've interviewed about 650 people on this program in the last 7 years. And sometimes it's the career that's the bliss, you know, and sometimes it's the person, the love or the kid or the whatever it is, but it's really cool to have it all sort of juggling all happening at the same time. That's really,
it is really enmeshed. Yeah. And it's true. Even, you know, even when we've had hard days, either creatively or I don't know, meetings that didn't go great or whatever, we still kind of go, I don't know, let's make some nachos and and watch some, I don't know. I think you should leave, and it's pretty great.
That's pretty fabulous.
Yeah.
There's a question we ask everyone at the end. So I think you've probably answered this a million times, but I'm going to let you answer it anyway. What is bliss for Naomi Sneekus?
Yeah, that. Like, it's really, I feel very fortunate. And people say that a lot. They feel say, I'm very lucky. I feel very blessed. Hashtag blessed and all that. But I feel really lucky that I'm able to do what I like to do in this country and feel safe and we're healthy and we're able to give back to people in a way that they are responding to. It's not enough for me to just work in this sort of silo of our life where we go, yeah, we get to do the thing. We're making some money. Everything's okay. We have a nice little place to live. But the fact that people are responding to what we're creating is, that's pretty blissful.
That's bliss, man. That's so fantastic. I have to tell you, it's really been an honor to have you on the show today. And I'm so grateful that we had this hour together. What is the best way?
Me too. You too. I just have to say, you're such a delight and easy person to talk to. And you're asking questions that are actually challenging me a little bit to be like, okay, I have to reflect a little bit more than I have been. Sometimes you're sort of in the motion of life that you don't stop. So this is a nice chance to stop. Thanks.
Thank you.
Smell the pink roses like in the background.
Smell the pink roses. What is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you, and of course to go and see your show, The Big Stuff?
Yeah, you can find out about our tour at our website, which is Barum and Sneekus. com.
Yes.
And then reach out if you want to just reach out to me at Sneekus. Or Instagram at Barum Sneekus or at Firecracker DEPT. You can find me on all those places and find out about all those things. If you're somebody that's living in Toronto or Vancouver or Calgary or Los Angeles, we have Firecracker Department chapters in all those places. So if you want to get involved, reach out and we'll connect with the various firecrackers that are in those places.
That's so cool. Love that. I love that. Well, that was just so delightful to talk to Naomi Sneekus. I'm such a big fan. So a really interesting thing that happens on this show from time to time is that people reach out to us that want to be on the show, who are talented and want to share their talent and their bliss with us. One of these people is a singer-songwriter named Joe DaCosta, who emailed us and said he was listening to Zoomer and happened upon our program and really loved it. And now he's a regular listener. He wanted to share his music and he's written over 100 songs and we're going to be playing one of them today. And it's really good. When I listened to Joe's song, God Lives Here, I knew we had to have him on the show. The song is beautiful. Before we meet Joe, let me tell you a little bit more about him. So Joe is a dreamer who, until the last 7 years or so, never believed in himself enough to live his dream. And it's so interesting because that's a story that I hear from so many people as the Bliss Coach, that you have a dream, but you just don't feel you're ready for it. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. You're not, in some cases, pretty enough or this enough or that enough. And guess what? It's not true. You always are, and you have to just go for it. And Joe always wanted people to hear his songs, but he had always an excuse to not even try. Again, very common to a lot of people. And he also let his age get in the way always and let his mediocre guitar playing disqualify him from even trying. And what I find so impressive is that he is a self-taught musician who writes from the heart, and you can hear that. He plays the guitar, the harmonica, and he sings as well beautifully. He's written over 100 songs. I love that, Joe. And it is his passion. Joe, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So delighted to have you here.
Thank you so much, Judy. I appreciate the opportunity. It's hard to get your music out there, you know. And this is, I'm sure a lot of people listen to your show. Something's going to happen. Things are happening.
That's so wonderful. I love, Joe, that you say that singing and songwriting have been a lifelong passion and dream for you. What gave you the confidence to finally go for it and share your music?
I think it had a lot to do with my age, because you start, when you get up over 60, you start thinking, how much more time do you have left, right? So you start wanting to fill that bucket list that you've been working on or thinking about all your life. I never had the confidence to do what I do now, but now it's my purpose in life, you know, to get the messages out there.
Was there something that happened on a particular day that just made you go, today's the day, I got to do it?
You know, there's been a lot of times when I've thrown in the white towel, thinking that this is just a waste of time. And I'd written a song, not this one, but I wrote a song once about 4 years ago called Let It Rain. And I had thrown in the towel because nothing was happening. So I sat on a bench and I looked up to the sky and I said, Lord, I want out. You know, this is not working out for me. I need a sign. And if I don't get a sign, I'm selling all the things that I bought to try to make music with, you know. So I'm walking back to my apartment. Tears are running down my face because this is something that was really important to me. And I wasn't getting anywhere, right? And there, right in front of the entrance to my building, is a van that says, "Let It Rain." And the initials on it were DJ. And my initials are JD. And I thought, well, thanks. I think that's good enough sign.
There's a sign. There's a sign that I needed.
So I had to go back to it and I gave it my all. But I decided to have a plan. And I had like five different things that I thought I needed to do to get to where I wanted. And one of the things that I wanted to do was send my music out to things like a radio station. And I didn't think anybody would even listen. And then I hear your show and it says that you help songwriters. And I thought, well, there's another sign. I gotta use that one, right? I never expected you to return my call, but this is great. This is fantastic. You know,
that's just great. I love that story, and I love the song. As I said, the name of the song is "God Lives Here." Can you just briefly set it up for us?
Okay. Well, this was a song that came to me this past summer. I'd bought a ticket for the Princess Margaret Lottery, the cottage prizes, and I thought, what? You know, how nice could it be to live in one of these cottages, you know, and how close would you be to God and nature? And I'd be able to write so many more songs and life would be fantastic. So I put myself in that position and I'm a big dreamer and I created a song within an hour. And that was the one that you're going to be hearing.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love that. And I'm so excited to share this with our listeners. Mm-hmm. Without further ado, let's all have a listen to Joe DaCosta singing "God Lives Here." Due to international copyright law, podcasts are unable to include music. Music can only be played on the live radio broadcast. Finding Your Bliss airs every Saturday at 1 p.m. If you'd like to hear this artist's music, you can find the link to our Finding Your Bliss SoundCloud in the episode description. Wow. Joe, that was so beautiful. I love
it. Thank you so much.
And I can't wait to share it. I'm so excited now that we are sharing it with our listeners. It's really gorgeous.
Yeah, that song, I'm glad you like it. And I hope people listen to it. You know, I've got other songs and I hope people go to my YouTube channel. I really need you to say I like it, you know. Got to get a record deal.
There's a question, Joe, that we ask everyone at the end of the show. Of course, I'm going to ask it to you now. What is bliss, Joe DaCosta?
Well, for me, bliss is living the life that you're passionate about. Otherwise, you're just wasting air. You know, I spent most of my life just doing what I had to do to pay my bills, never living the life that I wanted to live. Which is this. I was born to do this, and I'm going to do it till the day I die.
That's so great. That is music to my ears and honestly, and to my soul, because that's exactly what we believe in and what I believe in and my whole bliss platform. It's so important to me. And so I hear you say these words and it's so great. And it doesn't matter. Dreams have no expiration date. Dreams are not
that's
like milk. Right?
That's right.
You can do this at any age. 40, yes. 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. I've seen it.
You know, look at Colonel Sanders. He didn't get his chicken out there until he was 65. So,
wow.
You know, you just got to follow your dreams and never give up.
I agree. The best way for you to contact with Joe and find him on social media is just to go to his YouTube channel. And his channel is called at j.f.dacosta. 3207. I'll repeat that. It's j.f.dacosta, DACOSTA 3207. Or you can find him on Facebook at Joe DaCosta. That's Joe DACOSTA. Joe, I want to thank you again so much for being on the show today. It was delightful to have you here.
Oh, it was great knowing you. Thank you. And I'll see you every Saturday from now on.
That sounds great. Each week, we spotlight fabulous people like Naomi Sneekus and Joe DaCosta who are living their bliss. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. And as Joe mentioned, if you're a singer, songwriter, musician, we always love to hear from you as well. Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. And for those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach, and I have a very cool new thing called the Bliss Method. And it's a program that I'm going to be telling you more and more about that. But essentially, what you need to know is that I help you find your passion and purpose and help you make that dream come true, whatever it may be, however old you are, whatever age or stage you are. There is no expiry date. Dreams have no expiration date, as we just talked about. Just reach out to me. You can DM me at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, or just write to me at Finding Your Bliss, FYB@findyourbliss.com. I'm also on Insight Timer, and that's the number one free meditation app. There's a really good meditation about to launch there, and that's a great one as well. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I'd like to thank our wonderful guests, Naomi Sneekus and Joe DaCosta, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Meg Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, producer Chelsea Lockstedt, Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yannizziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our official sponsor, the Create Fertility Center, and also to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. And as well, thank you to Garrett Florist, our studio florist, for the beautiful pink roses that adorn our set each week. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.